Hey there, Patty Dominguez here with episode 186 of the Positioning to Profit podcast. Today, I have a special guest, Midori Verity, who is a serial entrepreneur and business coach with over three decades of business experience, building her own businesses and working with startups to Fortune 500 companies. And so we discuss the reality of the post-COVID environment and figuring out all of those variables that we are confronted with, whether we are just starting out a business, have launched a business, are in that period where it can be very easy to give in to overwhelm and stress with all of the situations that are going on and the challenges, because let's face it, it happens, it's happening, and it feels like there is no end in sight. So one of the things Midori and I talk about on this episode is like, how do you keep your sanity about all of this, you know? And then also, how do you stay in your zone of genius? So some real practical tips if you are in that situation that is coming straight from an expert's perspective. And I am so happy to have had her join me on the Positioning to Profit podcast. So really great show, because she comes from a place of knowing, again, being a serial entrepreneur, being through the dip and valleys and all of the things in between. I always appreciate these levels of perspectives. Okay, so know that you are not alone and that there is support for you. And it starts here with this episode. So hang with me. This is a good one. And with that, let's get on with the show. Here we go. Let's go. Hey there, I'm Patty Dominguez. You're about to discover what it means to position your brand and your business to stand out. This show explores the stories of small business owners just like you who are bringing their message out to the world and impacting their tribe. So if you want to take your business to a category of one status, then hang with me, because this podcast shares everything you need to know about how to be more prolific with your brand so that you can have more profits. All right, Midori Verity, thank you for being on the Positioning to Profit podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited to chat with you about our topic. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too. Okay, y'all, you are in for a real treat, because before we hit the go live button, you know, one of the things that I always want to bring to the audience is, okay, what can you take away that is actionable from real experts who walk the talk, who've been there, who've put things into action, who have proven frameworks and methods and what have you, right? So the thing is, before we hit the go live button, have no doubt that what Midori is going to share with you is really, really helpful. But we also started talking about this trend around what's happening post-COVID, the environment, in terms of people transitioning either out of their jobs, getting laid off. You may have heard phrases like the great resignation or other things such as quiet quitting or just good old mental health and burnout, which is really creating this wave of people really considering entrepreneurship. Are you finding that to be the case, Midori? What's your take on that?
I have never had as many people coming to me as I do now that have left corporate, or they've gone through a major transformation in their lives and they're launching businesses now, and especially with women. I'm seeing this more than ever.
And so are people, in your opinion, are they reinventing themselves? Like, where are you catching them? Are they in a space where they're like, I don't know how to do this, or is what I know enough to get into entrepreneurship?
What I'm seeing is women who want to have control again. They want to be holding the reins to their lives and to their professional life. And there's a number of different issues. So depending on what stage they're at, if they have been already launched, if they already launched their business and they've been doing it for a while, this is usually the conversation that I have. Midori, I launched my business. I'm really not totally sure what I'm doing, but I need clients now. And I've tried all kinds of different things and it's not working. So I get those people who come to me. Then I also get the women who come to me and say, Midori, I really want to... I'm an expert in this field. I've been doing it for so long. And now I want to run my own business, but I have no clue where to start. Yeah. So these are really common conversations that I'm having. And so the difference between the two, the ones who have already launched and they're trying to figure it out, Mm. When you're in corporate, when you're working for a company, it's laid out for you, right? Yeah. Someone's telling you, okay, here's our objective. This is what we need to do. Here's your support team. You have a problem with tech? Great. Make a call here. Yeah. You need help with marketing? No problem. Now, when they become an entrepreneur, all of a sudden it's up to them to do it all. And it's a crazy amount of overwhelm, stress, anxiety, you know, like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And how do I do this without going broke before I even bring in my first dollar, right?
Yes.
So that's what I'm seeing across the board. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and out of curiosity, what led you to, are you in a space where you're bringing in more of these people because this is where they are? Or have you always worked with early entrepreneurs and kind of how are you seeing things changing? Is there more overwhelm, exhaustion, burnout because of where we are post-COVID? Or in other words, has it gotten tougher in your opinion to start a business?
I don't think it's gotten tougher. Okay. Being an entrepreneur has always been tough. There's always overwhelm. Sure. It's always the same kind of issues that I'm hearing. The difference now that I'm seeing is that there's just more women leaving the corporate world for one reason or another. That's the main trajectory that I'm seeing that has changed in the last, probably in the last year and a half. I've really noticed a big change, but the overwhelm, the stress, the anxiety, the perfectionism, the where do I start, the, you know, I'm trying to do all this different marketing. I'm on every damn platform out there and I'm burnt out.
Right, so, right.
You know, it's all the same. And what I have to say, and I want to say this really quickly because it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be so stressful. But when you're trying to do everything on your own and you don't have that support system, you don't have the people on your team that have already done that, it's going to slow you down and you're going to have far more headaches, way more stress, and it's going to take you a lot longer to get to where you want to go.
Okay. So such a loaded question that I have in my head right now, but okay. So let's check in. Tell me at what point would somebody who is in that state of mental exhaustion, so what are some of the signs that an entrepreneur may be experiencing that would say, it's time for me to, it's not like you're quitting or anything like that, but I got to find a better solution.
Yeah. When you feel like you're working, you're behind off. You're constantly working, right? But you're not seeing progress. That's a really good sign.
Yeah.
Because what can happen is that you're working really hard. It's almost like you're throwing spaghetti at the wall. So what I see often is they're trying all these different things. They're on every social media platform. They're trying to do emails. They're trying to get interviews. They're trying to go out to networking events. They're doing all these things. But the truth of the matter is that they're doing them out of order. And they are not tapping into their zone of genius enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I say, this is a really big term. So, but when I say zone of genius, what I mean by that is what are you naturally really good at and that you love to do? So the other problem that I see with entrepreneurs is that especially women coming out of corporate, they've been, you know, in the corporate world for so long, they're good at all kinds of things, right? They don't just have one hat. They probably were doing something like maybe in HR and then maybe in marketing or in finance or product development. They might have done a bunch of different things, but now what I'm going to suggest is that they slow down and they take some time and really think about what do they love the most. What lights them up the most? Then think about what do they really stink at? Mm-hmm. What are they not good? You have to know both of those and they have to be equally as clear.
Yeah.
Then figure out how you can play in your zone of genius more. Eventually, you want to strive for 80% of your time is spent in your zone of genius. And here's why. Here's how you know when you're playing from your zone of genius and here's how you know when you're not. You're one of those who can take the pen and just start writing and it just flows and it lights you up and you're creative and you just have so much fun doing it and time passes. When you are operating from your zone of genius, things are going to move forward so much quicker and it's not going to give you as many headaches. You're not going to end up as depleted at the end of the day as when you're trying to do the things that you suck at. Yeah. When you are trying to concentrate on doing the things that you really aren't strong at, you're going to slow yourself down so much more. So that's one of the biggest challenges or one of the biggest, I would say, mistakes that I see with newer entrepreneurs, or even those who've been doing it for a long time who haven't hit it, who are, have not hit at least six figures, is that they are concentrating on the wrong things.
It's so true. It's like this paradox where thinking like, I'm not ready to hire a team because I'm just not there yet. But at the same time, I'm getting myself bogged down by doing all the things that I just got to get it done, right? So it's just easier for me to do it instead of hiring someone and you know, taking up all that time in order to do my social media, do all the things. And it's, and I relay the message as easy as this. It's like, if it feels heavy, there's a high probability that you're not supposed to be doing that. I know, for example, my first hire was a bookkeeper. I couldn't do that fast enough. And then it was, for me, it was social media. It just felt really heavy to do social media, to be on there and posting and doing the quote cards in Canva and doing all those things, you know? And then really focusing on the zone of genius is the thing, to your point, is when you're really getting into flow states. And I love the way that you said it. It's like, it just goes easy. Like it happens fast. It gets you in a space where it's fulfilling. So that is one of the key things, is really staying in your zone of genius. But the thing is, yeah, Midori, but I have so many other things on my plate. So you mentioned people are doing things in the wrong order. So what would you say, macro level view, would be the way, like, okay, Midori, you have perked my attention, you've piqued my attention. What order nominally should things be in so that I know that I'm doing the right things and I'm not wasting time and money that is going to lead me to exhaustion?
Right. So the first thing is setting a strong foundation, yeah. Right? And the way that you set up a strong foundation is, I always say three things. You need to know what your zone of genius is, which we've already covered. What are your core values? And then what lights you up? What motivates you? What makes you want to jump out of bed every single day, right? So create your business revolving around those three topics. As long as you're doing that, you're going to be okay. Mm. So then you need to figure out, okay, well, who's my target market? Who am I trying to sell to? Because if I hear someone tell me that, you know what, it's all women. It's all entrepreneurs. It's everyone who is a mom. You're going to be wasting a lot of time and money. Right? You and I, you're in that field, you know. So you really want to niche it down, because when you can niche it down, then when you're talking to them, they're like, oh my gosh, it's like she's in my head. Mm-hmm. She knows exactly what I'm thinking, right? And then mm-hmm. you attract people to you. So you need to get clear on who your avatar is. And then you need to create a clear and compelling message, right? That converts. So that would be the next step. So I think we're on number three. Mm-hmm. And then you need your product. What's your product promise? What are you selling? Start small. Start with your MVP, right? Your most viable product. Make it really simple and then test the crap out of it. Keep testing. Go and talk to your target market. See how it's landing. See if they want something else without getting too spread thin. And so keep testing before you put $1 into it, right? Mm. And then you start building out from there. And I mean, that's a whole next stage where you start expanding your business. That's probably more than we want to go into for today.
Yeah.
But that's what I would say. Concentrate on those things and you're going to be in a good place. And let me give you an example. I had a client come to me about a year and a half ago, and she was a professor, full-time, very high-level professor at Washington University. And when she came to me, she's like, Midori, I'm a professor. I have a PhD. I am not an entrepreneur. And I'm like, well, her name is Lene. Like, what do you mean, Lene? You already launched your business. And you have a PhD and you've been a professor. You have so many geniuses. You know, that's what I was thinking when she was telling me this. She's like, no, I'm not an entrepreneur. I've never done this before. I'm like, oh. And so as we talked more, I'm like, okay, one, we need to leverage your PhD and the fact that you have been teaching at such a high level. And also, she loved to write. So that was her zone of genius. So now where we have her is that she is writing content for herself. She's writing a book. We are going to leverage the crap out of the book, and we're going to get her partnerships because of her book, because of her PhD, and because of all her years of teaching. So she's been leveraged up, and we can move her into that field where she can partner with higher level people because of what she's already created and really getting clear on that. on that strategy, right? So instead of her playing on, like she was telling me originally, she's like, yeah, I need to be more on social media. I'm like, stop wasting your time. That's not the game we're going to play for you. Let's start leveraging you with the right people and getting you the right partnerships. And that's where you're going to blow up your business. And that's what's
happening. I love that. And I think that's such an important point because people say, well, I'm posting, I'm doing all the things. And this is such a great testament to the fact that it's not just about posting on social media and having that be the only viable channel, right? It's about finding the one that is right for you where you can leverage and shortcut the timeline to the results that she was looking for, right? And that's so great that you were able to help somebody to have the realization that you don't have to be on social media to make this happen. And how counterintuitive, right? At the same time, because you're like, no, don't do social media. She's like, wait, what? I know people would say that because so many other people would say, you got to be on social media. You got to be posting, let's say TikTok, like 8 times a day, right? And in her case, that wasn't the right fit. And so that's the value of having somebody really look at your business, you, your personal brand, in a way that they can give you that secret combination that is going to shortcut to get you the results you're looking for. So that's exactly. So magical. Yeah. It's so important. And I love that you talk about the importance of accountability. Can you talk about how that plays into this whole goal attainment of how you help people through that entire process?
Yeah, the accountability part is so, so critical. And that's what can take whatever you're working on and just fast track it so much faster, because when you are with an accountability partner or with an accountability group, that is high level, where you're playing with driven people who are also already have had success or they are going to this next level.
Yeah.
You start playing up. It's just a proven fact. It's just what happens. Who are you surrounding yourself with? And if you're surrounding yourself with your mom and your bestie, chances are you're not going to move as quickly, right? So that's where the accountability comes in. My company, Fuel the Fire, we have a whole methodology that we use in our accountability groups that is based on what corporations, some of the most successful corporations, use to help their teams accelerate success. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. But without even having a strategy, when you have the right accountability partners, what studies have shown is that your business can grow by 95% versus trying to do it alone, mm-hmm. right? You've been talking to so many different entrepreneurs. So one thing that I hear, and I'm sure you've heard, is that whole concept of isolation.
Yes,
right? Trying to do it on their own. It's lonely. And then who do you bounce ideas off of? Who is your board of advisors that you're turning to? Right? So when you have an accountability group where you're meeting with them on a regular basis and you're all setting really high goals and you're pushing and you know that you're going to have to answer to them the next week, you will accelerate things so much quicker and you'll overcome those things that scare the crap out of you way faster, because it's even more scary to show up to your group saying that you didn't get them done.
So true. Well, can you tell me, how do you measure success? Like, what are the variables that matter to these people that you're coaching that are in this accountability group so that they're hitting the results that they're looking for?
Yeah. So that goes back to the foundation. That's why I always talk about the foundation. So when you're clear on your zone of genius, your core values and what motivates you, and you're doing that and your business is built on that, you're going to feel more successful, because success isn't about the money. That's a measurement, right? But when you're being lit up every single day by these three core topics, you are going to be more likely to overcome challenges way quicker, because in entrepreneurship, it's inevitable that you're going to have big, fat, giant boulders that get in your way and mm-hmm. cause problems and cause you to get slowed down. But when you're playing from what I call your personal mission statement, which includes those three areas, you're going to want to jump out of bed and you're going to push faster and you're going to look for solutions way quicker. So that's what I would say. You know, I've owned a lot of businesses over 30 years, and I've had businesses that sucked the life out of me, but they were making me a lot of money. but I hated them and I wanted to run for the hills. And then I, over time, I guess from wisdom, I've learned to create businesses that light me up. And I always feel far more successful when I'm playing in that field.
I have a really important question to that. How do you know when it's time to pull out of a business? Say, for example, maybe you're working with an entrepreneur who wants to reinvent or reposition, or how do you know when it's good to stay on that same road or if it's time to really change things up entirely?
Yeah. So when it comes to business, if they want to keep that business, you don't ever want to mix it up too fast unless it's not working at all. Mm-hmm. It's just a proven fact. But what I would say is I would start again at that foundation. How strong is your foundation? How much is it woven into your business? And then what are the goals that you've set for yourself and for your company? Are they motivating? Mm-hmm. Are they lighting you up? Are they clear to those who are working underneath you? Right? So this can even be your VAs. Do they know what you're shooting for? Are they understanding that? So you want to have clarity around everything in your business and what your goals are. And so looking at that and just saying, okay, well, maybe what the problem is that our marketing strategy is not working. Maybe the messaging isn't working. Maybe you need to just tweak something a little bit so that it's now in alignment with you. And now you can go do partnerships because you love what you're doing and you're inspiring and people want to come in and be part of what you're doing. So there's just a lot of different questions that I would ask. But I would just, you know, keeping it simple, start with making sure that it's what lights you up.
So true. And that just goes to the testament of why having a great coach, great guidance, great accountability is so essential, because you can't go about it alone. You can't. I see so many people that, and it's funny because I do see people who are in that space who are like, okay, I need this, but let me wait till next year. But can you comment to what's the cost of waiting another year to move your business forward? Where have you seen are the pitfalls that people have when they don't make the decision to tap into accountability, tap into the foundational framework that you're talking about?
Well, I know a lot of startup businesses that are 10 years old.
Oh my God. Like, I literally just got chills. What? Wow.
Yeah. Where they're just inching by, trying to make it. And then they feel like, okay, well, once I reach X amount of financial success, then I'll hire someone, right? That's the wrong approach, because that's a scarcity mindset. Whereas if you're thinking, okay, how can I get to my objective quicker? How can I get there faster? Who do I need to meet? It basically, usually what it is you need a who for your what.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is the quicker that you can find that right person, the quicker your business is going to grow and you're going to stop dragging your feet. So with me, I always have a coach. And it's always someone who's way farther ahead than I am. So the person who I hired as a coach 5 years ago was not the same person I'm working with today, because they haven't, you know, I need someone who's higher level now at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's a good way to think about it. And I'll tell you, I have a client who's in Field of Fire, and I've been working with her for a while. And when she first came to me, she was just starting and she loved to exercise. She's a triathlete. And she's like, Midori, I'm thinking about starting a triathlon company. I have some coaching students right now that she was helping to do triathlons, but she really wanted to start doing big triathlons. That's what lit her up. She was super excited. Now she has scaled. She's in different states. Wow. And she has partnered with America's Cup.
Oh, wow. That's phenomenal.
And they're looking at doing a partnership with the World's Cup. So my point being is that she got the right people on her team.
Yes.
And she was already thinking of what did she want to create and how can she do it the fastest, right? So now she wasn't making a ton of money in the very beginning, but now she is. Right. And now she is, you know, she has the partnership, she has sponsorships, but that's what she realized that early on, and then she executed on it. And now within a year and a half, year and a half. So last year, end of 2022, she had hit her financial goals 4 months early. And so she had to create all new goals. But that's the power of having the right people on your team.
I love it. What a great story. And that is so impressive for sure. All right, Midori, we are going to transition to the fast five questions. And it's just five questions you ask or answer organically. There are no wrong answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. You're ready. Question number one, what would make this a great year for you?
Oh, gosh, to have women clients that have filled my business who are motivated and driven and are awesome at supporting one another.
I love that. That's so good. Number two, what would you consider your greatest achievement?
I would say after being an entrepreneur and owning so many different businesses for so long is fuel the fire, what I have right now, because I keep talking about those three elements that we talked about. Yeah. And fuel the fire is that. It's my zone of genius. It's what I love. I jump out of bed every single day. And it's just the business that lights me up the most.
I love it. Person, place, or a thing. What is one thing that inspires you greatly?
My kids. I always am trying to be a great role model and to motivate them to achieve their biggest dreams.
Yeah. And what is one thing that you wish somebody would have told you when you first started your entrepreneurship journey?
Quit trying to do it yourself. Get some help.
It's so true. Oh, I love that. And after all is said and done, Midori, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want to leave a business that has impacted so many women that now feel confident, who feel in control of their lives, and they're making a huge impact in their communities.
Beautiful. All right, Midori, you brought the goods just sharing about these foundational principles. So if you're in a space where you are looking to grow your business, to scale your business, you're in that quiet quitting state, maybe you've been laid off and you're looking to start your entrepreneurial endeavor, can you share with the audience, you have a freebie that you are offering the listeners. Can you tell us more about that and how do we get that?
Yeah. So we talked about goals and setting clear, concise, compelling, exciting goals. And so what I love to share with other people is something called the Summit Goal Mapping Framework, which I created. And they can get access to the training and the framework and the templates on how to set those up to help them grow their businesses much quicker. And all they have to do is just go to fuelthefire.co/goals.
Excellent. Fuelthefire.co/goals. We're also going to have that in the show notes. So make sure to check that out there. And then how do people get in touch with you, Midori? What's the best way?
Probably finding me on LinkedIn is the easiest way. They can just go to Midori Verity and I'm all over, but LinkedIn is where I'm the most active.
Perfect. Well, Midori, thank you so much for being on the show. So appreciate you. Continued success as you help the brigade of women that you are helping so that they can live in their zone of genius and find their own success. So thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey there, thanks for hanging out with me today for the Positioning to Profit podcast. As always, we aim to create content for you that's going to help you in your business so that you can position your business to profit. For more information on our programs, you can head over to my main website. It's positioningexpert.com, positioningexpert.com. And really at whatever level you are, as long as you're a service-based entrepreneur, there's a good probability that I can help you. So head on over to positioningexpert.com. Also, if you enjoyed the show and haven't left a rating and review, please consider leaving me a rating and review. It helps tremendously. We content creators absolutely love and appreciate a good review. It's what keeps us going. So thank you so much again for hanging out with me. And I hope you know that your message matters, and we'll see you on the next episode. All right, take good care.